This episode will contain spoilers.
Hi, I'm Jeff Goldblum. Interesting, complicated, you know, character.
My book, man.
What?
Our monument in Heraklion?
why would you think that that's funny? You're a moron. Don't be a moron.
Well, yeah. I mean, why do you give a fuck?
I give a fuck because it's blasphemy. They pooped on our, they put poop all over our statue.
So?
So, an example needs to be set. You get it?
What, the Trojans? And we screwed them hard enough already. It's too easy now. It's like fucking the corpse.
Humans need to be kept on their toes. Because if they're relaxed and if they enjoy peace for too long, then they're less constructively scared. And if they're less scared, they have less desire to honor us. If they start to feel that blasphemy is without consequence, man, I think that's real, real dangerous.
Welcome to Love You Jeff, the Jeff Goldblum Appreciation Podcast. I'm your host, Leslie DJ, and this week we are covering episode 3 and 4 of the Netflix series Chaos, starring Jeff Goldblum. Oh Zeus, you and your fecal argument. Okay, so episode 3, we really get to meet more of the other characters. We actually meet the third character, which will be essential to the downfall of Zeus. So, we meet Ari.
Blessed Olympia.
I said we'd come back to her. To understand Ari's significance, we need to rewind to the beginning of that day.
So you see her addressing the crowd for Olympia. So it kind of goes back in time to show you a little bit of how we got there, which is very helpful in case you forgot, because so many moving parts are happening during these shows that it's hard to keep up. It takes me forever to realize certain nuances, because at first glance I get all excited when I hear a funny clip, and then I'm like, oh, how would I work this in, rather than paying attention, and then I gotta go back and pay attention and take notes. So it's quite a dilemma, because it's a hard job, and now loving Jeff Goldblum it's making my speech pattern worse, apparently. We meet President Minos' daughter. He is the president of Crete, and that is Ari. She's assisting her father in investigating the desecration of the monument. And what we will soon learn about her is that her past is very troubling and very dark. And she was also given the same exact prophecy that Zeus noticed about his wrinkle.
Buckingham. I can't even remember him.
Who?
Glaucus.
You were a baby.
Yeah, but you're meant to be able to feel your twin, right? Even when they've died, and I can't. I fulfilled my prophecy before the age of 2. I can't remember a fucking thing about it.
Oh, what was it?
A line appears, the order wanes, the family falls, and chaos reigns.
We learned that Ari was actually a twin, and that her twin brother passed away, and she feels responsible. So the daughter, what she does for every birthday, which this day happens to be her birthday, the Olympia day, she has a sculptor that lives on premises of father's estate, and he carves out like these little mannequins that would look like Ari, a male version of her, so like her twin essentially. And these dolls are stacked up, I mean, from every stage in life where the child was not alive. They kind of recreated it with this doll. It's very creepy. Like, those dolls are creepy. And the reason she does this is for her mom. Her mom has never recovered from the loss of her son. And this brings her joy, just even having these doll or mannequins that would be him at that age makes things a little easier for her. But it's creepy AF. Meanwhile, Minos is still on his mission to find the people that desecrated the monument. And so at one point, he has former members of Troy's royal family, and they are interrogated by Minos over the Trojan Seven, wanting to know who would surrender, who did this, but no one wanted to come forward. As all of this is going on, Zeus is having a temper tantrum on a boat. That was the first clip that we played of the episode. And he is just so obsessed with losing power that he manages to convince Poseidon to see if he could get Minos back on board. He could actually be true to his prophecy and kill in order to fulfill his prophecy or whatever, to be good with the god. Minos had promised his daughter Ari to forgive the Trojans for her birthday. That was like the one wish that she wanted, because it turns out that one of their employees, Theseus, was dating one of the Trojan Sevens. And so he begged her to please spare his life. So she asked her father to spare all of the Trojans' lives, and he agreed begrudgingly. But of course, he will turn back on that once Poseidon visits him and sticks his toe in his mouth and tells him what's what. And as the sun sets and then rises the next day, we are awoken essentially with these blood-curdling screams. And we come to find out that the recently seven free Trojans had been hung publicly. So obviously, Minos did not keep his word to his daughter.
But anyway, what do you think of it so far?
Since we're doing two episodes in one, let's do the rating for episode 3. I give episode 3 of Chaos a 3.5 out of 5 Goldblums. And here's why. Not enough Goldblum. He was barely there. I mean, other than that magnificent scene of him on that yacht just complaining and looking all handsome in the sunlight. Yeah, all of that. We needed more of that or more of it. But actually, the show is really great, and each episode gets more layered and layered and layered. And even though I love Jeff Goldblum, he is the bad guy in this. But I still can't help but root for him. Is that wrong?
But anyway.
So now let's go to episode 4.
You! Yes, Mr. Nervous. Did you take it?
No, sir.
Do you know who did?
No, sir.
Okay. Pull. I said pull. Bingo. Roman knows. Yeah. Did you take it?
No, sir.
You know who did?
He did.
He'll fly away with those big ears. Pull!
We have a problem.
Oh, yeah?
Did you take Zeus's watch?
Of course not.
We need to find it.
Well, why?
Because he started a war room and he's killing the ball boys.
So we kick off episode 4 with Zeus lining up his pool boys, and he is questioning them one by one and asking them if they took their watch, if they know who had their watch. He just needed his watch returned, and he was not going to stop until he found the culprit. And so we just see him shoot pool boy after pool boy after pool boy, to the point that Hera's like, okay, we need to intervene. He has gone mad. So finally, people are seeing that the Zeus is a little too vengeful. So overall, here's what happens in episode 4. We learned that Prometheus had asked his lover Charon to swear that he would look out for someone with a mark and protect them. And then Prometheus kills him. So this is something that happened prior to Zeus imprisoning him. So we also see Orpheus enter the underworld with the other cave contestant. Persephone tries to call Zeus about a soul who has disappeared from the underworld.
This is Zeus, real busy.
But Hades stops her and insists that he will fix this.
Something is wrong and you know it. How, Hades? How does a soul disappear? How is that even possible? And what if it's not just one? What if it's the start of something?
It's not the start of something. It's just a reminder, a kick up the arse. Zeus put me in charge of the underworld. It's my fault.
It's not your fault.
It is. Nothing that can't be fixed if I put my mind to it. Trust me.
Meanwhile, we see Corneus. He he like visit a very secretive place in the underworld that he comes across. And then we learn that Riddy was recruited to be a diver.
But that's impossible.
Oh, clearly not.
No, you need to have worked here for years.
I don't know. They said it was a recruitment drive. They need more divers.
What are divers? Oh, dear God.
And she and Canaeus becomes friends. They start to pair up, learn about each other. They had a cute moment where she asks if kissing felt like anything because the food that they're consuming doesn't taste like anything. So they have to pour a gallon full of salt in order to feel some kind of taste. He said that he had never tried it in the afterlife. Kissing, that is, and so he wasn't sure. So there was a lot of cute banter, but then you remember that Orpheus is out there in the underworld looking for ways to find Riddy to bring her back. While this is a cute little interaction, her husband is on his way over, and you're kind of like, he risks so much, and so much is at stake that we want him to succeed at this point. So then, when we find Dionysus admits his gambit with Orpheus to Poseidon, but Poseidon tells him that Zeus will not like it if Orpheus succeeds and brings someone back from the dead. If he brought someone back from the dead, it would totally destroy the balance of the universe, and so that is something that Zeus would not be happy with. And so when Dionysus admits that he was the one that took the wad, Poseidon just tells him, do what you need to do, get the wad, make your father happy. So he decides to go to a jewelry store and basically steal the most expensive looking watch and pretend that he's somewhere in the entranceway or somewhere within the estate.
Somebody better fess up. Who took it? Who's the klepto? Who's the klepto?
The fuck?
It was one of you who took my fucking watch.
Dad, what? Found this by the gate.
Oops.
So that he could calm down and stop shooting all the pool boys before they've run out of all of them. So then Prometheus's lover, Charon, encounters Orpheus and the father that was also sent to the underworld to pick up his son, Anatole. And he offers to drive them across to the Styx. They wouldn't be able to swim across because there are vicious creatures living in the water. So that becomes clear midway through. We come to learn that Charon can only bring one person with him to the Styx. He can only take one. And so Orpheus and Anatole had made a pact that they were going to look after each other because Orpheus had promised Anatole's wife that she would look after him. So he had convinced him that they would have each other's back and that they would not betray each other. And the moment that he realized that they were going nowhere until one of them died, he instantly attacked Anatole. It was a very vicious fight. And so that's when Charon recognizes the mark on his hand that he was reminded of, that Prometheus told him to swear to him that he would help the person when he comes across that mark. And so Charon begrudgingly kills Anatole.
Meanwhile,
this is Zeus, real busy.
Hello, Zeus. Me there? Right, well, it's me, Hades, obviously. Just wanted to let you know that we have recruited an array of new divers. They're all trained and very good. Well, the underworld can deal with whatever comes its way, so lay it on us.
So Zeus then brings Dionysus into his plan to strike fear in humanity.
Natural disasters, they're good, because you can make them happen just like that. And to the mortals, it's a big, big shock that it triggers a spike in worship, prayers, and sacrifice, because they know that it's our doing. But what do we need to make destruction really, really sing, to make it last? Nothing. I thought you wanted a promotion.
Yeah, I do.
Okay, come with me.
I mean, Zeus is totally unhinged. Like, Jeff Goldblum, like, his performance of this man going mad with power is so good. I just couldn't take my eyes off of it. And, like, the monologue that he gives.
Okay. I want to teach you a thing or two about a thing or two. And the first thing I want to tell you is thank you.
thank me?
Thank you, Dionysus, because you found the watch. And you brought it back to me, even though when last we met, I was hard on you.
Yeah, Dad.
Hey, having a little bit of a moment here. You're a good boy, and I want to give you what you want.
What do I want?
More power.
Okay, cool. Do I?
Yes, Dionysus. That's what a promotion is. More power. And it also means loyalty, and that you got. I can see that.
Mwah. Pete Goldblum. Meanwhile, Vidi and Caneus find a room full of corpses. It turns out that the frame they're trying to go to may lead nowhere.
Oh, that was way harsh, Ty.
I think we've come to the end.
What's my final score?
Episode 4, it really had it all.
This has everything.
I mean, just, it opens up with Jeff shooting pool boys, interrogating them. I mean, well, that's not an interrogation. He was literally, like, shooting at them. And then once his son shows up at some point, he's like, oh, yeah, to the remaining live ones, clean that up. I mean, because he's so drunk with power. His performance is so brilliant in this. That's for episode 4 of Chaos, I am giving it 4 out of 5 Goldblums. And for those of you wondering my rating system, remember, I love Jeff Goldblum. So this is me trying to be conservative and mindful, because otherwise everything will get a million Goldblums that he's in. That's just fact. Well, that is the end of this podcast. I hope you enjoyed this recap. It's really disjointed and out of place, but there you go. So is my brain. So have a good one, and we'll see you on episode 5 and 6. And as always, love you, Jeff.